You're listening to More Perfect Marketing, the show for business owners and entrepreneurs always on the lookout for smart marketing ideas to keep their business moving forward. And now, here's your host, David Baer.
Well, hello and welcome to another episode of More Perfect Marketing. My name is David Baer. And by the way, today I'm not the only David on the podcast. I'm joined by a gentleman named David Foley, and he's going to be sharing some wonderful insights into that inbox that you don't run to first thing in the morning when you reach to your side table to grab your phone. We're going to be talking about a very different inbox, an inbox that really has had the attention of most of us for all of our adult lives. Actually, probably, you know, some of us got turned on to this inbox earlier in our lives than adulthood. Maybe when you applied to college, right? You were waiting for something in that inbox to find out, did I get in or not? You probably have figured out the inbox I'm referring to by now. I'm talking about the mailbox, or as to honor David's presence here, the post box to my friend from the country just north of us here in North America. David Foley, welcome to More Perfect Marketing.
Well, thank you, David. I'm very glad to be here.
So I think that folks are probably keenly aware of the existence of the medium that we'll be talking about today, postal mail. And I had at one point looked up the history of postal mail and when was it first used for marketing purposes. And I can't remember the exact circumstances, but it was sometime in the early 19th century that there was some mention of a campaign to promote, I don't remember what it was. It was, I was going to say, you know, sort of a political or a religious activity but this has been around and with us for a very long time.
Actually, you can take direct mail back to the 1600s.
Oh, really?
To promote church stained glass windows, where the parish sought to get funding to pay for those windows. But the kind of direct mail we're talking about really has its roots in the 1900s and came into popularity, I would say, in the 1930s, sort of after the Great Depression, when people like Sears were running catalogs, and lots of other people were running product-specific campaigns, not information products, real products, you know, like a liniment for all that ails you, or a wig to make you look more handsome or attractive or whatever the case may be, or the male equivalent of a bra, a push-up bra, which has been around forever. And those are called platform shoes. And in fact, the basic offer for platform shoes hasn't changed in the better part of 100 years. Look taller, get laid.
That's awesome. So are you saying platform shoes like change a woman's posture? Is that it?
Platform shoes go to men.
Ah, okay.
Okay. And the equivalent of the push-up bra on women.
Ah, got it. Okay. You know what? I hadn't been looking at ads for either, so I wasn't aware, but thanks. Thanks for sharing that with me and our audience as well. You know, in this day and age, we're in the 21st century, a couple of decades in at this point, and I think a lot of small business owners out there, certainly any up-and-comers who are just getting going in the marketing world, think that it's totally and completely irrelevant. Because as we all know, marketing is only online, right? You don't see any marketing in the real world anymore, or so they think.
I don't know that's true. I know a lot of people think that to be true.
Of course, I'm being facetious when I say this.
In 2021, the United States Postal Service delivered 66.2 billion pieces of marketing mail. Now, that's down from 10 years ago, but importantly, it's up from last year, because the history of marketing mail in the recent past in the U.S., and I think it's common throughout the world, is after the Great Depression, or after the Depression of 2009, marketing mail was slowly declined, maybe 2% a year. But then COVID came along, everything got shut down, and quite naturally, the number of mail pieces declined. Except in the most recent fiscal year for the USPS, ending September 30th, 2021, marketing mail volume was up 5% to 66.2 billion pieces. Some people out there still understand the power of marketing mail. Others misunderstand it and choose to believe that email solves every problem you have. And so they ignore marketing mail. And if they do, my opinion is they are ignoring a channel, a message channel that can be to their benefit 99 times out of 100, guaranteed.
So let's dig into that a little bit. First of all, I want to point out the corollary between what you were talking about back at the early, post-depression era in the 20th century and the post-depression era in the 21st century, is that, you know, this whole mail order concept. A lot of us have spent a couple of years in our homes and stores are not open or accessible. And so suddenly there's mail has become our access point for goods that we might want to access. And so obviously the promotion of those goods as in years past or centuries past, and the delivery of those goods on the same channel makes a bit of sense. You want to speak to that a little bit?
Well, sure. There's this little company called Amazon. Amazon purports to be an online retailer who distributes all of its goods by delivery, whether that be postal mail or courier. And it's a hugely successful company. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. But Amazon is also in the direct mail business. Late November last year, it published its third annual wish book, a catalog of stuff for kids. Now, you, David, will certainly remember the Sears wish book that came out in the late 70s, early 80s, mm-hmm. that was typically a couple hundred pages full of gifts. Tell me how either of those two things are different. Sears at one point started to go into direct order by phone and to some degree by online. Amazon is going from online to offline communication. It's just another channel to promote one's business. And so the similarities are more important than the differences.
Yeah, I think that's something that escapes a lot of folks who really think that marketing exists solely online is online is merely a channel.
Yes. And offline is merely a channel.
Yeah.
You know? So you have published books. Many of your listeners no doubt have published ebooks. They can turn around and turn those into physical books, the exact same book. Now you have an ebook at, I don't know, pick a number, $12.95, and you have a physical book at $19.95, you have two ways to sell the same book. Because some people prefer a physical book over an ebook. Other people prefer physical mail over email.
Yeah, that's
and some people are agnostic. You can get mixed up.
So I have to say I'm somewhat agnostic. I look forward to what's in my email inbox, and I have an alert from the U.S. Postal Service that has actually a scan of every piece of mail that I'm going to be getting later today sent to me via email, so I can see what's headed my way.
That's called informed delivery, and that is a really interesting approach on the part of the USPS. We do not have the equivalent in Canada yet.
Yeah, I love the ability to know, is that check that I was promised arriving today, or, you know, which candidate is going to try to, you know, get attention to get my vote today, or, you know, any of the things that I might be receiving in the mail.
On the other hand,
yes.
Have you ever been to the mailbox, whether it's outside your house or on the floor, just behind the front door, and been elated, surprised, thrilled, something that has arrived that you had no idea was going to arrive?
Pretty much once a week at least. Mm-hmm. It's I think one of the things that it gives the postal mail an advantage, right? Is that first of all, there's this tangible thing, right, that I pick up or that I open up. Right. So there's an emotional 95% connection.
95% of the time you'll open it up.
Yeah. Yeah. But here's an example. I ordered some books recently and I ordered them from not from Amazon, from a small independent retailer. And the tracking system isn't as good. And I don't know exactly when it's going to show up, but I'm supporting a small business. And finally, the thing gets to me. I'm mm-hmm. elated, and I get to open it up and experience it and all of that. And that I think, you probably can't replicate in the digital world.
You cannot.
So I want to talk to you about something that Gary Halbert, the famous copywriter who spent a lot of time doing his craft, performing his craft in the world of direct mail. Right. Mm-hmm. He used to speak about the ritual, the routine that somebody would go through every day when they opened up their mail. You want to share that story with us? Do you know that story?
I know a version of it. Uh-huh. I didn't realize Gary had these, unless it's a different story.
You know, it's several people. I've heard the Dan Kennedy version of it. I've heard other ones, but go ahead.
It's the three boxes. Mail I'm going to read right away, mail I'm going to put aside and read later, or mail that's going to go directly in the recycling bin. And that's true. And you want to decide which pile you want to get into. Well, most people would want to get into the first pile. And Gary Halbert and many other skilled copywriters know all sorts of ways to make sure that the teaser on the envelope just gets it into that first pile. And let's leave the second pile aside, because it's like almost as good as the first pile, but not quite. And let's go to the third pile, that bunch of mail that gets thrown away after having been read or looked at, and the brand information is recognized, but I don't need that, so I recycle. Even the stuff that's thrown away doesn't necessarily, even the stuff that's thrown away has some value in that the brand message got through. Even a piece of direct mail that is not opened has some value because someone recognized the business name in the corner card or the upper left-hand corner of the envelope. So, to me, we should strive to get mail that gets opened. And there are some issues around that we should discuss, such as the importance of mailing to the right list. But even if a piece of direct mail doesn't really last very long in one's hands, doesn't mean it did not have some effect.
So I'm interested in talking a little bit about those the strategic approach to making sure that you land in the right pile. The list is something that you bring up, which I think is important to sort of talk a little bit about. And then I'm sort of curious about appearance, content, you know, when something arrives may figure into it. I'm sure that there's a lot of other factors. If you have a few that you want to share with us. That would be great. Let's
go with the number one predictor of success for a postal mail campaign is the list. And my approach to my clients is we make the list as small as possible to closely align with the group we want to talk to, and then we test that list. You and I are both friends with Brian Kurtz. My first email to Brian Kurtz, perhaps 8 years ago, was, Brian, does a list of eight count as direct mail? And his answer was, of course it does. Because if you only have eight prospects, why on earth would you mail 80 or 800 or 8,000? You would actually mail nine, eight to the prospects you have and one to yourself that you then put in the marketing file. On the back of the envelope of the ninth, you put the day you mailed it. And then when you get it, you put the date you received it. And you stick it in a binder, and all the other stuff around that promotion goes into that little, whatever they call those envelopes, those clear envelopes that you get for a three-ring binder. Mm-hmm. And so the list is where you start. And you make that list, as I say, as smart as possible. If you can use your house file to do that segmentation, you'll get the highest response from your campaign.
So a house file, just to be clear, is an existing list of customers or prospects? What is a house file?
The house file can be a list of customers and prospects, but in this context, it's a list of customers.
Okay.
Where you're taking the behavior of the customers and you are using that behavior to determine whether or not they are a prospect for what you're offering. Let me give you a 20-second example. You have a new book on marketing. You want to look for customers on your list who have previously bought books on marketing. If you have customers who have bought books on electric cars in the future, their interest in marketing is probably relatively low, so you don't mail that group for that book. If you come out with a book on My Life as a Prius, maybe then you mail that book to those people. So your customer list is a bunch of different segments. Can be 10, can be 20, can be 100, depends on the size of your list. And if you have prospects, nothing wrong with mailing to prospects, but what you do is, again, you narrow the focus as much as possible and always, always test before you roll out. I just had a mailing with a client, a nonprofit in New York. They had never done mail before, never. They've been around for almost 7 years. I said, I have no idea whether this is going to work, so let's see what happens. And well, the campaign broke even, which frankly is not a bad start. When we do it again next year, it should make money. Mm-hmm. So the client's not out any money, which is a good thing. And I hope they're predisposed to trying to do it again, because why wouldn't they be? If the first time broke even and we're a little bit smarter about it, the second time we should make money. And if every one of your listeners achieved that goal using postal mail, they'd be so much further ahead than had they not done anything.
Yeah, I like this approach that you've taken by saying, I don't know what's going to happen, but let's see by actually going through the process of doing it and paying attention to what the results are. And what you've talked about so far presupposes that a business has a clearly segmented, properly managed list. And if they don't, and they want to
get one.
Yeah, I was going to say that's probably the first step before, you know, taking any action in direct mail is to dial in or clean up that list so that you're not wasting
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, let me give you an example.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
You have a restaurant, and that sector has been badly hit with COVID. Start finding a way to collect customer names. It's so simple. You end up saying, I'm going to have a draw for a $100 gift card to the restaurant. And everybody that comes in the restaurant is invited to enter the contest. Everyone, of course, will, because who wouldn't want to win $100? Now, the restaurant has built up a list of existing customers, including their mailing addresses, probably including their phone number, which more and more these days is going to be a smartphone. And it can build and build and build on that list. And what it's going to cost that restaurant is $1,200 a year for 100 gift cards 12 times a year.
Yeah.
And if that restaurant gets a modest return on its mailing investment by getting people to come back more quickly, then that return will be earned back easily within the next 6 months. So the restaurateur who has every problem we wouldn't want as business people can take some pretty simple action to get his restaurant or her restaurant up and running and booming again. And by the way, the restaurant example is not limited to restaurants.
Sure.
It's only limited to customers that don't collect the physical email addresses of their customers.
I want to challenge one thing you said there, and this is really for the benefit of anybody who's listening that says, oh, I'd love to do that, except that I don't want to invest the $1,200 a year. And here's the point I want to make. As a strategist, I would argue, first of all, that's the retail price, right? The restaurant is issuing the $100 gift card. It's really their cost of fulfilling that $100 in value. And second of all, they're going to make back that $30 because nobody's going to stop the spend at the $100. They can easily create the situation where anybody who redeems that will end up spending at least $30 in cash up above and beyond the amount of that gift card. So you'll be in profit, right? You're not going to lose any amount.
Well, just to be clear for all the restaurant listeners of this podcast, the gift certificate or the gift card must say on it, for the purchase of food a non-alcoholic beverages only. This will shield the restaurant from any problems of people enjoying too much and then drinking and driving, which is an important consideration socially and legally, but it's another way to get around the problem you just mentioned.
Yes, exactly.
I have a $100 gift card, I have a $100 bill, but half of that is a nice bottle of wine. Well, I've only spent $50 of the gift card. The $50 that remains on the gift card is going to be burning a hole in my pocket until I come back and redeem it because, darn, I have that extra $50. Honey, let's go for dinner and spend that $50 before we lose it. Ergo, the restaurant's having you back not once, but twice.
Absolutely. There you go. So I just wanted to point that out. Thank you for fleshing that out even further with the two bottles of wine that just got sold in the scenario that you've just provided. So, all right, I want to talk a bit more. So let's assume we have a solid, good quality list that we're is clearly defined. Mm-hmm. I'm curious to hear some of the insights you might want to share about what it is that gets sent in the mail.
Okay. 90% of the direct mail I receive, because I'm a consumer too, is what I would call the classic direct mail package. It's a number 10 window envelope with a letter inside that is personalized in most cases. It usually contains a brochure. It usually contains what we call a lift note or a buck slip, so-called because it's the size of a dollar bill, which we don't have in Canada anymore. Our smallest bills are $5. And it may contain some other stuff as well. But that's the fundamental format. Envelope, letter, buck slip, brochure, and as part of the letter or as a separate component of the letter is an order form and a reply envelope. Now, people often say to me, well, since everybody now orders online, why do you need a reply device? And I have this private theory that's never been proven, so let me ask your listeners whether it's worth their consideration. In the old days, for me, which is back in the 70s, we all had something called a day timer. And you're too young for that, David, I'm sure.
Okay.
But we would take the whole mailing, which is summarized on the offer card, and we would take it and put it in our day timer so we'd do something with it later.
We call that a planner.
Okay.
Yes.
Same
but,
thing.
But I'm not too young. I know what you're talking about.
Then we would ditch the rest of the mailing. So that's why when you're writing direct mail, you start with the order card. Mm-hmm. And make sure everything that you need to say is on that card. And so now you have the order card as the reminder. And in fact, today in direct mail, it's even better. Because we can put a QR code on that order card and people will magically get directed to the order page of the website to place the order that they want to make. So you have a direct mail piece, you have a reminder piece, and Bob's your uncle.
So you said 90%. I want to hear about the other 10%. But I'm curious, you bring something interesting up about multiple modes of response. And I'm curious if there's, I'm sure it, the answer is it depends, because most answers to questions like this are it depends. But is there data that you're aware of that shows how much response from direct mail is changing the channel, changing the medium to, okay, I got this thing in the mail, now I'm going to go over to my computer or my smartphone and follow up on it versus using, and I'm guessing it probably has to do with age and other demographic issues as to where the divide is. Have any insight into that?
Well, just recall the not-for-profit client example I just talked about. Most of its response to that direct mail campaign came through their website. But some people mail checks. Other people mail stuff like, please don't mail me again, which is fine. You know, that's how you clean your list. Mm-hmm. There's an organization in England called JICMail, the Joint Industry Council on Mail. Mm-hmm. And it analyzes mail every way to Sunday. And here are the four top actions people take when they receive physical mail in their home. Number one, they talk about the mail with their spouse or their kids or their friends or whomever. Number one response. You get a brand discussion going on about, should we go on this river cruise? Should we buy this new Apple whatchamacallit? Should we lease that new electric car from Jaguar? Etc. Number two, and it's consistently number two, they go to a website to get more information. Number three, in appropriate circumstances, they go visit the store. Number four, they make a purchase. So just saying, well, I sent this direct mail, I only got a 2% response. The 2% response is the lowest part of the activity curve I just described. 2% absolutely bought and bought now, but many other actions went on as a consequence of the direct mail. Does that help?
Absolutely. And I think what the point that I'm taking away from what you've just shared is, first of all, you know, anybody who is focusing their marketing in a single channel, you know, just online, just doing Facebook ads, just doing search engine optimization, just doing direct mail, is doing them their business a disservice, because people who they're targeting are everywhere, and the way that you've just described that scenario of the consumer's follow-up, right, proves that, right, that they're actually taking time to engage with the business at in various places.
I can take it one step further.
Yeah, go ahead.
A lot of people who receive direct mail, and I mentioned they'll go to your website. They'll go to your website to check out your offer versus any public offer they have, because that might be better, might be worse. I don't know about the Pacific Northwest, but in New England, the Toyota dealers advertise a website called buyatoyota.com or something like that, which, quote, has every Toyota offer available, including those not mentioned on TV. They're directing you to go find the best offer, admitting the best offer might not be the television commercial you just saw. So at the same time, the internet is like going to the mall. If I'm looking for the best rate on a credit card and the credit card company just mailed me a pre-approved offer, and by the way, in credit mailings, pre-approved is gold, because it says you won't be turned down and your credit score won't be impacted. I'm going to go and check and find out who else is going to offer me that rate or a better rate or more points or no annual fee versus an annual fee, because the internet has empowered us as consumers to do that. And wouldn't you imagine that that's exactly what people do? Because it is.
It's, all marketing leads us back to the same place, which is human behavior, which is a piece of what you're talking about here. And you and I could continue this conversation for hours because this we're getting into the good stuff, but it's
and I've just sadly, looked at my watch.
It's sadly the point that we have to wrap things up. And I wanted to make sure that people knew where they could get, you know, sort of more of these brilliant insights from you. And so I wonder if you might share a bit about your book, and then let's tell people where the website is as well, so that they can find both of those things.
Okay. My book, thank you for mentioning it, is Postal Mail Profit in a Digitally Obsessed Age. It's $19.95 US in physical form, and it's $9.95 US in ebook form. Available pretty much anywhere throughout the world. And basically, the book is divided into two parts. The first part is basically some of the things we've been discussing today. Why postal mail should be part of your business plan. And that's the first 9 chapters. The second half of the book is a detailed look at becoming a direct mail practitioner with enough confidence that you'll actually do it. So there's chapters on the free education in your mailbox. And that's simply look at the direct mail you receive, study it, don't throw it out. There's a chapter on lists, there's a chapter on offer, there's a chapter on creative, there's a chapter on testing, there's a chapter on postal mail's secret advantage. And that advantage is technology, which is kind of an interesting riff, because here we're saying postal mail is so old-fashioned, yet it's technology that allows us to be great, not only with QR codes, but with the way we can present that tactile, experiential piece that is unfolded in the kitchen of so many households. If people want to find out more about this crazy guy, they can go to my website, which is https://85percentopenrate.com. That's the number 85 and the words percentopenrate.com. And the website comes from the fact that between 80 and 90% of addressed mail is opened. So I just took the midpoint. Yeah, or they can email me, and the email is on the website.
Perfect. And we'll have links to the website for folks to check out as well in the show notes. So I greatly appreciate it. I love hearing from you and your insights around postal mail. I do so little with clients in postal mail, and when I have the opportunity to, I jump at the chance to work on those campaigns because they're so much fun to actually work on a tangible mail piece. And we haven't gotten into what that remaining 10% is that you see in your inbox, and I think we'll just have to have you on another time to discuss some of that stuff, because it is pretty cool what you can do in the mail in ways that we haven't even covered in this conversation.
It would be my pleasure, David. And as you say, we've just scratched the surface. Yeah. Unfortunately, I could go on for hours.
David Foley, I think that somebody would say fortunately, that somebody would be me. And I look forward to continuing the conversation at some point in the future. Thank you so very much for joining me here today.
You're welcome. Thank you for inviting me.
Indeed. Folks, this has been another episode of More Perfect Marketing. Thanks so much for hanging out with us, and we'll see you back here real soon. Take care.
You have been listening to More Perfect Marketing. For a collection of 26 smart marketing cheat sheets to help you master your marketing, please visit GetDavidsGift.com. That's GetDavidsGift.com. Once again, thanks for listening to More Perfect Marketing.